Welcome to Houseplant Homebody. I'm your host, Holly, and I'm here to talk about all things plants. Are you ready? Hello, friends. We are starting off with the goldfish plant episode right now. I do want to point out that we are still doing construction because I have been probably recording these all in about a day or two besides Sierra's episode. So you may hear Peter hammering or vacuuming or drilling in the background, and that's okay. We're going to roll with it. I'm currently in his office recording because, I forgot to mention the very first episode. If you guys remember, the audio was terrible in the last couple episodes, and I believe it's because there is a problem with the USB side of my computer that I have not gotten fixed. So I'm currently recording on my husband's desktop, which the audio is perfect. So temporarily, we are rolling with this until I can get my laptop part fixed. But until then, we have a good option. I didn't feel like paying to get it fixed, so here we are. So, goldfish plant. Let's dive into it. Okay, so the goldfish plant, or the Nematanthus gregarious is the botanical name, is also commonly called the guppy flower. I mean, how cute. And the candy corn plant. And if you look at a picture of this plant, you will see why. It is an adorable orange blooming houseplant that, you guessed it, blooms that looks like a goldfish. It's so cute. And then it has small waxy leaves for the foliage, which is also really, really, really pretty. So even if this didn't bloom, I would still love this plant. But the blooms just make it so much better. The actual blooms do look like little tiny goldfish or even candy corn. They actually look like goldfish that have eaten way too much, or they're puffing out their cheeks or something is what they look like. They're adorable. So I'm going to jump right into the sun requirements. There isn't a ton of different varieties out there. There might be slight variations of the foliage or the flowers, but goldfish plant typically is just sold as goldfish plant. Also wanted to credit, I did not have an actual picture myself. Somehow this is a plant that I did not take a picture of it anytime that I was at the garden center or whatnot. I scoured all of my thousands of pictures, could not find one. So I took the photo from the University of Iowa's website in their biology section. So the photo credit goes to them on the blog post and on the actual post. So for the sun requirements, in order to get this plant to actually bloom consistently, you need to put it in medium to preferably bright indirect sun. So this is not a super sunny requirement plant. The fact that it can bloom in medium light is actually really nice, and bright indirect is preferred to have the most amount. So you can put it in medium to bright indirect. It will bloom the best, obviously, in bright indirect. I did want to point out that there were several websites that did not list direct sun as a good option for this. So I would probably avoid putting it in direct sunlight because that could fade out the actual foliage of it and it could look a little rough. But bright indirect light is great. If you need help understanding light or you need to supplement with grow lights, I do have an episode and blog post on that. I linked the blog posts because it's a very visual presentation of the light explained episode. And the grow light blog has links to different grow lights, so you can check that out there. Let's move right on over to the water requirements. So keeping this plant actually consistently moist is super important to keeping those flowers healthy. Seeing the waxy leaves, in my mind, I thought maybe it would be more succulent-like, but not really. So you want to make sure you are providing enough moisture to keep the blooms very active and the plant to be very healthy. So letting the actual plant completely dry out, it could lose the flowers and the foliage color could change. You know, that's typical with a lot of houseplants, duh. But the point is it could lose the flowers pretty quickly. The other thing that I also thought was interesting, I thought would be a different story, is extra humidity is not necessary, but several sources did say increasing humidity could help the overall plant's health, so it was recommended that you do it, but it's really not necessary. So I believe the water and the sunlight is probably the two most important things to keep this plant healthy. Let's move on to the fertilizer propagation and other facts. So for fertilizing, I always say this in the beginning, I use Fox Farms Grow Big liquid fertilizer. I fertilize about every 2 weeks, about when I water. And then I usually do that from the end of February through October. And I only fertilize maybe twice in winter because the plants aren't as active. So for this plant, I actually use a different fertilizer. That is because it blooms and I want it to bloom consistently. So Fox Farm has another liquid fertilizer called Big Bloom. That's what I use on my orchids and any plants that I want to bloom, like a Hoya, for example. That is what I've been using lately. Probably over the last year, I switched over that to the blooming house plants, get this kind of fertilizer. So I do the same thing though. I do it every 2 weeks, the same consistency. It was the same instructions as the Grow Big liquid fertilizer. I do this type of fertilizer because it is a higher phosphorus fertilizer. That means when you're looking at the NPK reading, so when it gives you a number of like 10:10:10:10 on a fertilizer, that's NPK. That's nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium reading. That middle number needs to be the highest, and that will ensure that the plant is getting the fertilizer. It needs to be the best blooms for the plant. So if that middle number is the highest, it means that it is going to be helping the blooms the most. So you don't necessarily need to get the Fox Farm Big Bloom like I do, but if you're looking at a fertilizer reader and you're like, how do I get high phosphorus? Look for those three numbers and find one where the middle number is the highest. That's how you got a blooming focused fertilizer. And then I did pull one quote from the Complete Houseplant Survival Manual on fertilizer like I normally do. It says, from spring through summer, feed every 2 weeks with a high phosphorus plant food mixed at half the recommended rate. In winter, feed monthly. So it's literally just about what I have recommended. Now, it says use half the recommended rate. If you're using a product like Fox Farm's Big Bloom or something like that, normally in the instructions on the back of the package, it is going to do a recommended amount, and you can do less than that. So they do have a houseplant recommendation. And if you're a little bit worried about it, obviously cut back. It's always good to under-fertilize rather than over-fertilize. But there's a ton of products out there. And there's nothing you need to use or you shouldn't use. It's just a matter of the amount you use that's important. Always better to use less than too much. Okay, moving on to propagation. Propagation. Stem cuttings. Super easy. I've had luck with placing stem cuttings in water. I've also done it in soil. But you can choose whatever medium you prefer. So just make sure you're cutting a stem cutting that does not have a bloom at the end of it. And then you can place it in water or soil or any kind of medium you want to propagate it. And it should start producing roots pretty quickly. So you might want to consider the fact that it will probably not bloom for at least a year after you take that stem cutting. So just don't expect it. Make sure you're really allowing it to get fuller and bigger before you're expecting the flowers. But stem cutting, super easy. I don't believe you're going to have a problem with this, even if it's in water, soil, LECA, whatever you have, perlite, moss, peat, whatever you want to use, it's going to be great. Okay, moving on to the other facts and the Instagram Q&A. Okay, so this is part of the Generaceae family, which is actually the vining cousin of the African violet. Who knew? So much more interesting than the pitcher plant family, am I right? Jeez. Okay, if you didn't listen to that episode, go back and listen to it, because the family names of the pitcher plant is just hysterical. Anyways, so this plant is native to parts of Central and South America. Also, if this plant is given the correct care, it should bloom year-round, but you can expect less flowers in winter. So it's a pretty consistent bloomer. You should be able to do it in your normal household care. Some houseplants have a hard time blooming that consistently, but if you are giving it the care that it needs, and honestly, probably increased humidity would not hurt in doing that extra step of care, then you should be getting those blooms year-round. Also, a fun fact, natively, these grow epiphytically, or they vine, but are usually sold as a trailing houseplant or in hanging baskets. So I thought that was really interesting. I've never seen it epiphytically growing or vining up anything. I've only seen it being sold as houseplants. So that's very interesting and makes me want to try growing it as a vining houseplant. And another wonderful fact that I know several people will be very happy to hear. This is a non-toxic plant. The weird thing is ASPCA lists it as a non-toxic plant. So I trust ASPCA more than anything, but there were websites that listed it as a toxic plant. So I would just be cautious about what you're doing with it. But the one website that I trust more than anything did list it as non-toxic. It was another plant website that I saw that listed as toxic that I wouldn't really consider as reliable as ASPCA. So just want to throw that out there just in case. But if you want more information on pets and plants, I have episode 31 out there with a corresponding blog post posted in there. In this blog post, I mean. So that's the other facts. Let's move on to the Instagram Q&A. Again, I put out this Instagram Q&A in the beginning of all these episodes to see if anyone had any particular questions that they wanted. I always screenshot them and address them when I'm recording, and I put them in the blog post. So I will do the same thing for the next season of episodes, and I will be doing it throughout the next couple months until I release those episodes. So this question for goldfish plant, I only have one. It said, once I brought mine home, it stopped blooming. What happened? So this is a very probably, it's a common issue with a lot of houseplants, especially blooming ones. So most of the time when you have a houseplant that is probably growing in a very ideal environment with a lot more sun, a lot more humidity, being watered super consistently because it's so warm in a greenhouse, and then you bring it to your home that's a lot more dry, not as sunny, a lot less humidity, it goes into a little bit of a shock. So that is super common. There are a ton of houseplants that do a lot better with that than others. Blooming ones probably aren't one of them. So they probably went into shock. I would suggest maybe mimicking the greenhouse environment as much as you possibly can, which means putting it in that bright light that it requires to bloom, maybe giving it a little bit more humidity, and then just really making sure that moisture is up. Not necessarily standing in water, but keeping it consistently moist is really, really important. Over time, it should bounce back. The other thing to keep in mind is the blooming does decrease from fall into winter. So if you purchased it in fall or winter, it could just be part of its natural cycle of getting rid of the blooms and then moving it into a space that was not the greenhouse, could have just escalated that quicker than normal. But it should bounce back if you're providing the right nutrients for it and stuff like that. If you are giving it humidity, water, all that good stuff, and you're really not seeing it bounce back, try the fertilizer, the high phosphorus, that middle number fertilizer, and that should probably help as well. So that is all I have about goldfish plant. I know it's a little bit shorter of an episode, but this plant is pretty simple. There's no reason why anyone shouldn't be successful with it. But if you have questions, obviously this podcast is out there for you, and then the blog post is up for you as well to reference it as needed. So, hope you guys have a good day. Hello. Hopefully you enjoyed that episode. I know that was one that was asked for quite frequently, along with pitcher plant. So I wanted to make sure those two were really put in this first season releasing episodes. The next episode is actually Water Explained, which is a little bit more of a complicated episode to go over just because I try to delve into exactly what each of those components of watering means. What does high moisture, low moisture mean? And a little bit of humidity is also included in that as well. Since I didn't have the resources to really dive into humidity too much, I would rather do a certain episode of Humidity Explained, so I go over it super high level, but watering is more of a low moisture, medium moisture, high moisture. What does that mean? And what other factors could change that, like terracotta versus plastic, indoor versus outdoor, that kind of thing. So let's dive into Water Explained tomorrow. See you then.